One of the great difficulties of reading Scripture, and indeed we might say one of the dangers of attempting to read Scripture rightly, is that we read these wonderful dramatic stories and get the impression that God behaved differently way back then than he does now. We think to ourselves in our modern times, you know, if I had been at the Red Sea and saw the waters part and ran onto the other side and saw Pharaoh's armies drown, I would probably be a much better follower of God. But Peter, who always pops into the stories to remind us of our own frailty, helps us understand that even if God were to show us all the wondrous signs, we would be no less likely to get it all right. But this is one of those days when we wonder, 2,000 years after these events happened, we wonder, would we be better Christians if we had been at the Mount of the Transfiguration? It's a pretty good excuse when you think about it. We're following Scripture and church tradition for a few thousand years, and it's very tempting to think, surely, if I had seen Christ's full divinity shining forth gloriously in his perfect humanity, surely I would be a much better Christian. So what is it about the Transfiguration? What does this day mean for us? As we ponder this great event, when before his death, burial, descent, resurrection, and ascension, our Lord's full divinity was revealed to the three gathered on the mount perfectly in the midst of his perfect full humanity, we consider how it is that God reveals himself to us. How we have, in the case of the text, this literal mountaintop experience. What does this mean? What was revealed? Then we ask ourselves, why is it that this has come to be? How are we to understand this? And how is it that we are to come down off the mountain and serve God in our world today? This is truly the grandest miracle that we witness before our Lord's final great perfect miracle, the resurrection in which he restored life to us all. On this mountain, the disciples were asleep, as usual, when something important was about to happen. And they awoke and saw that this rabbi, this fisherman, this Lord they had been following appeared differently. Now we know our Lord is perfectly human and perfectly divine, 100% God, 100% man. But in this moment, the Father chose to glorify the Son in the midst of the three gathered by giving them a glimpse of what was to be. They received a foretaste of the reality that was to come. And indeed, eschatologically, they received a foretaste of that which had already been accomplished from the foundation of the world. A vision of perfect resurrected humanity in communion with God himself. In this brief moment on the mountaintop, where God's interaction with humans seemed to be heightened, we think of moments such as receiving the Ten Commandments, coming down from the mount, meeting God in the high places. God revealed himself in quite a dramatic way. So what was this about? Well, we see Moses and Elijah. We see a testimony that what God has done, the history of salvation, is one. It's a unified whole. The old and the new covenants are two parts of what God wishes to do in humanity. Our Lord came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And we see this witness. The Father tells them, "This is my Son. Listen to him." They need to be reminded of it yet again, as we all do. And we see a foretaste, a preview of what will be the case for each and every one of us. Humanity perfectly redeemed, in perfect, unimpaired communion with God himself. Now you can imagine that when Peter, John, and James awoke to see this sight, it was overwhelming, blinding. This Lord who they have followed, they could finally see the wholeness of his divinity contained within his perfect, unblemished humanity. This would certainly get one's attention indeed. But Peter, who I always love to have in the biblical text, I relate to him for some reason. We both love Jesus very much, but we're not always horribly good at it. Gets the message wrong. And he thinks, "Well, Master, it's great to be here. let's build 3 shacks, and one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and we'll just stay here. We've been following you around in the desert. Now we're up on this mountain. We see you as you truly are. Let's not leave. But of course, there was more work to be done. We do not get to stay on the mountain forever. Our Lord revealed himself in this profound, miraculous way. As food for the journey for the disciples who are about to see the darkest days of their life and the life of our Lord. He revealed himself in glory before their faith was to be tested to the breaking point. They saw the greatness, the victory that was to come before they saw the great loss, before they saw our Lord suffer, before they saw our Lord die, before they had 3 days of praying, wondering, hoping, begging that he would be back. God revealed himself in this merciful way so that they would know when the hour came, when our Lord gave up his last breath, it would not be his last. They got a foretaste of the victory that was to be once and for all accomplished. So what about us? How is it that we encounter God? How may we get to this mountaintop? Well, we may not have quite as dramatic of an experience as Peter, James, and John did. But I submit to you, we have far more than they did even on that day. On that day, for a one-time experience, they saw our Lord's perfect divinity. This divinity that we partake of in the blessed sacrament of the altar at each and every Mass. This may not look like much of a mountain. There are not nearly as many steps to ascend. But at this altar, on your tongue, you receive the perfect, full divinity, humanity, presence of the victorious Christ who is revealed on the holy mountain. Our experience here is even greater than what they had on that day. Now, I know this is difficult to grasp. And we are not going to install a spotlight behind the altar to blind you when you get there to recreate the event for you, so you may be overwhelmed by the light of God. But when we talk about our Lord being light of light, this is what we speak of. Eternally proceeding from the Father, our Lord in perfect divinity comes to us. And just as the disciples on that mountain had a foretaste of the victory that was to come, so we, in an even greater fashion, each and every time we partake of the body and blood of our Lord, we participate in the marriage feast of the Lamb, that great victorious banquet that is to come, that is happening, in which we will all participate. And this is food for our journey. This is sustenance for what God has for us to do. For we cannot always stay on the mountaintop. God redeemed us not only for his glory and for our benefit, but so that we may do his work in the world. And just as Peter, John, and James received a glorious vision of our Lord that gave them the strength to go on through the darkest hours of their lives, so too our Lord meets us in the sacrament of the altar, reveals himself to us when we receive true bread, the body and blood of our Lord, to give us sustenance, not so that we may sit on the mountain, but so that we may get to work. For our Lord, who meets us in the great heights of our experience, in those moments, those little inbreaking in which everything is right, those rare times when we see everything as it really is and give God thanks for it. He gives us sustenance to get us through the valleys, through the depths, through the difficulties, through the work. Our Lord gives us his body and blood. He reveals himself to us in his perfect divinity, just as he did on that mountaintop. But the God who revealed himself perfectly and gloriously is the same God who, when we come down off the mountain, does not remain up there lofty and apart from us. But he is the God who is beside us, who is within us, who goes alongside us through the depths of human experience. The God we meet on the mountain is the God who sustains us through the valleys. Our great Lord presents himself to us in the sacrament of the altar. His flesh is food for our journey. His blood is the cup of our salvation. On this day, as we give thanks for the transfiguration of our Lord, how he was revealed perfectly in his divinity to those three gathered on the mountain, let us also even more so give thanks that each and every time we gather, he deigns to be our guest. We ascend this short mountain, the altar. We meet our Lord there in perfect divinity, and he sustains us through all that he calls us to do. Amen.